Blog Talk Radio.
It's Holy Week, the most important season in the Christian calendar. During this week, millions of Christians worldwide will commemorate the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ between Good Friday and Easter Sunday morning. Yet, the story of the week is not so much the triumph of Jesus dying and rising himself from the dead for our sins, but rather an obscure religious freedom bill that just passed in Indiana, targeted squarely at discriminating against those in the LGBTQ community. The country, quite frankly, is up in arms against this new law, and it's putting much heat on the governor of Indiana and the legislature that passed the law. Companies are moving their employees out of the state, and major conventions are weighing their options about holding future meetings in Indiana. Even the great retailer Walmart flexed its muscles and put a squeeze on the governor of Arkansas not to sign a similar bill. Times are changing. The question is, why do some feel the need to shut out minority groups, this time in the name of religion? This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, good morning, thank you, good afternoon, that is. Welcome to the show. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. We've been off the air for a month because I've been traveling, also had the Black History Breakfast that was rescheduled from February into March, and then my guest speaker left on Thursday, the middle of March, and then other responsibilities kept me from holding this show, but we are glad to be back on the air, and very glad that you've joined us, either live or listening as an archive. It's been quite busy. I am also getting over a cold, so that's why I'm a little scraggly today, but we will persevere anyway. Also glad that the snow is finally melting off my lawn. We have had quite a winter. In all of my years, I don't think I've ever seen a winter this severe. It certainly has been the snowiest winter on record. In many cases, the coldest winter in some parts of Massachusetts and New England. And because we had so much snow that accumulated with great intensity, particularly in February and then very early March, the snow has been very slow to melt. So across my lawn and many other lawns, you'll see a lot of snow, and it is April 2nd right now. I don't think the snow is going to be gone until probably the very end of April, which sort of delays a lot of us and with gardening and all the other activities outside that you want to partake in. I actually know that there's some outdoor activities that are going to be delayed because of the weather. But be that as it may, we're still persevering and moving on. This is a very interesting and troubling topic. I was trying to figure out what to talk about today based on the fact that I haven't been on the air for quite some time. But I thought this was really appropriate. When you look at the fact that we are building up to Good Friday is tomorrow, Easter Sunday is Sunday, and then if you're in other parts of the world, Orthodox Easter could be the next week. If you are in Greece and other parts of Eastern Europe, typically their Easter falls a week after the other traditional Easter seasons that take place. Regardless of that, I'm looking at a bill that just passed in Indiana last week and was signed into law by the governor of Indiana that now officially provides a loophole for private businesses to use their religious beliefs and their religious practices to openly discriminate against, in this case, the LGBTQ community. And I want to look at it from a number of different angles between now and the end of the show. I welcome you to go to my website, www.tellcarole.com, that's T-E-L-L-C-A-R-O-L-E.com, And in the blog section, you'll see the write-up about this blog, and then you will also see a very detailed piece about the bill itself in Indiana, the ways that various corporations and individuals are responding to it, and the actual bill itself. So you can go to the website and follow the dialogue, and it's sourced from NBC News, so you can go and read the actual article, and then I always encourage you to do your own research. One thing I want to play right now, and I may have to pull up a couple of different clips because this comes from my breakfast, and this has everything to do with this whole religious freedom law. My speaker at my Black History Breakfast, it was the 22nd breakfast. It was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. There were nearly 140, 150 people in attendance. It was rescheduled, so people had to readjust their schedules. We had a few people who couldn't make it, but some people who couldn't make it in February who actually came to this breakfast. So all things pretty much leveled themselves out. We will have pictures of them on the website, either tellcarol.com or mssconnect.com. We'll have those pictures in the next couple of days where you can actually see what took place. The response was overwhelmingly positive. And I say that because my guest speaker is gay. Her name is Reverend Carla Cooper. She is very well respected in the human rights community, the LGBTQ community. She represents the human rights campaign on various occasions. Nebraska just passed a same-sex law act. It's now being contested in the court system, so it's on the band is in place for right now until it actually gets heard by one of their higher court systems. She has come out in support of it. She also is a professor and chaplain at Doan College, and Westboro Baptist Church came out and openly protested at Doan College's campus, their main campus in Crete, Nebraska, because of the same-sex law bill. And just various things are taking place. But I want to play this clip because this is in reference to the speech that was given that she gave at our breakfast. So bear with me just a few minutes. Let me see if I can pull this clip up, and I may have to switch from one to the other, but you will get a sense of why this subject resonates so heartfully so with many people in the LGBTQ community. Reverend Carla Cooper. That was Reverend Carla Cooper responding to the Westboro Baptist Church who came to Doan College to protest. She actually was flying to Boston to participate with our activities on that was Monday, March 16th. That was the day that the Westboro Baptist Church came and protested. But anyway, she had just brilliant remarks about that. I'm going to try to pull up another quote again from the same wonderful speech that she gave at our Black History Breakfast so you can get a sense of the importance of these issues from her perspective. And I may jump to The next day when she spoke to another group, again, about the same issues. Let me see if I can find that quote for you. Carla Cooper is making in that clip is this whole community component, when you look at the LGBTQ community, is just evolving and expanding. And most importantly, what I realized, and I'm a straight ally and have professed to be a straight ally for quite some time, I also, in 2004, came out openly in favor of gay marriage in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Got some pushback, but that was my position. I can't profess to be a diversity professional and to love everybody if I openly discriminate against a particular group of people. So that's never been my position. It's always been one of really holistically and in many ways supporting every community that is here that should be represented. So the LGBTQ community is certainly in that number. As an African American, I have to look at it that way. But what she did for me, and what I have done with some previous courses that I've taken and some workshops that I've attended, is to realize how much I need to know about the LGBTQ community and how much it's changing. The word queer originally was offensive, and now it is not offensive. As Reverend Cooper has said, they've taken it back from an academic perspective. They're owning that word now. The ally portion is also very much in play. So she mentioned LGBTQ. And what I learned from another radio program, I would encourage you to go back a couple of months. You can do a search for a radio program that I did with a grandmother of a transgender young man who became a young woman called Trans Woman. And learn more about the transgender community. Absolutely fascinating. What it includes transsexual individuals. I've now met transgender individuals and just understand the importance of recognizing their community, and that's all part of the LGBTQ community. So this is a fast-changing and a subject where you need to understand what's going on before passing any judgment. And what I feel has happened in Indiana is that because of the part of the country that they live in and the constituents that they represent, it became rather easy to fall back on the religious sword to provide a defense to then openly go out and target the LGBTQ community. So this law says exactly this, and again, you can read this on my website and then do your own research. But the actual law, this is a digest of Senate Bill 101 from the Indiana General Assembly, and it says religious freedom restoration prohibits a government entity from substantially burdening a person's exercise of religion, even if the burden results from a rule of general applicability, unless the governmental entity can demonstrate that the burden, number one, is in the furtherance of a compelling governmental interest, and number two, it is the least restrictive means of furthering the compelling governmental interest, provides a procedure for remedying the compelling government interest. Provides a procedure for remedying a violation. Specifics that the religious freedom law applies to the implementation or application of a law, regardless of whether the state or any other governmental entity or official is a party to a proceeding implementing or applying the law, prohibits an applicant, employee, or former employee from pursuing certain causes or of action against a private employer. So that's the legalese. That's what the law actually says. Let me do just a little bit of digesting and give you a sense of what it actually stands for. And go here. I'm just pulling through some of my notes to just give you a sense of what this is. And again, NBC News covered this, and it's just been widely circulated. Now many people are talking about it in many different ways. And basically what they're saying is that you can use your own religious beliefs, no matter what those religious beliefs happen to be. You can be a believer and a hater of all people, and according to Indiana law, this will go into effect in July, you can use that as a bully pulpit to discriminate against people. That's basically what this law is saying. As a result of this, there have been many groups to raise up and say, this is not fair, and we need to seriously look at how this is being implemented in the state of Indiana. And if you're doing business in Indiana, if you have a business in Indiana, and I know of conventions, I'm supposed to be going to a convention in Indianapolis this summer. So if you're doing business in Indiana, then we need to take a look at this law to see if, in fact, it is really the kind of law that we need to have. So, and this information I'm getting, again, from NBC News. This is what it's called, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And the law is known, again, as Senate Bill number 101. It was signed into law last week, and it takes effect on July 1. It says, the text says that the state cannot substantially burden a person's exercise of religion unless it is furthering a compelling government interest and acting in the least restrictive way possible. Now, this whole piece also relates to 19 other states that also have religious freedom laws. So this is not the first state that's done this, but they are modeled, the other laws are modeled after a federal law, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, that was signed by President Bill Clinton in 1993. And it passed the House without objection and cleared the Senate by a vote of 97-3. And Clinton said at the time that the law subjects the federal government to a very high level of proof before it interferes with someone's free exercise of religion. And some legal experts have said that the Indiana law differs from the federal law and most other similar states, those 19 states that I mentioned earlier, in ways that could allow businesses a wider berth, wider loophole to discriminate. So that is the problem, is that the way the law is written, that it gives a business, let's say a flower shop, a gay couple comes into a flower shop. They want to buy flowers for their wedding. marriage is not legal at this point in Indiana, but let's say they want to have some kind of private ceremony, and they go into a shop, and they, you know, say we're having a same-sex marriage ceremony or a traditional ritual or whatever, and that flower shop can now say, as of July 1st, they'll be able to say, no, we won't do business with you because that violates our religious act. Now, I'm going to flip this and just talk about myself as an example. I'm a business owner, and I've been in business for 28 years. If I applied my own standards with the people I do business with, I would probably be out of business right now. If I applied that same standard to the people I live around, I would not live in this neighborhood because I live in an overwhelmingly Republican neighborhood, and I'm a Democrat. I look at the people I do business with, many Republicans and Democrats. I look at people who are not Christian. They are not Muslim. They don't believe in God, period. I look at people who are gay, and again, I'm straight, and the list can go on and on. The people I do business with, or let's say the companies who hire me to do business, and I have to interface or interact with people whose ideologies, beliefs, political perversions, or whatever are completely different from mine. If I had to take the time to sort through that and check off a list of who is what and what they do, I wouldn't be in business. I simply would not be in business. And this law speaks to that, speaks to what right do we have as business people, as employers, to stick our nose in the faces of people whose lifestyle, whose sexual orientation in this case is different than ours. I think it's absurd. I think it's completely absurd, and apparently Walmart thinks it's completely absurd because they actually had a conversation with the governor of Arkansas, because Arkansas is also mulling over a very similar kind of law, and so now Governor Asa Hutchinson has said, I think I'm going to wait before signing any law like this, and the language needs to be changed. So that's where, when you have bellwether, large cash cow organizations like Walmart located in Arkansas, probably the owners of Walmart have been longtime Republicans for many years. But when they say, no, I don't think this is a good deal, that lets you know that times are changing. They are definitely changing. And what a person's sexual orientation is should not matter to anybody. And what right do you have to poke your and to inject your religious beliefs in the face of a client who just wants to do a transaction, who just wants to do a simple business transaction with you and your business? It just doesn't make any sense to me. There are other companies that are also looking at what's taking place in Indiana, including the CEO of Apple, Tim Cook, and the NCAA, which is having one of its final four games in Indianapolis coming up, and other organizations like Angie's List. They were expecting to expand in Indiana, and now they've put those plans on hold because of this particular bill. And I think PayPal is also in that look that list as well, where they are concerned about the effect and the impact of this particular law. So you have many, many businesses. You also have another company, I can't bring up the documentation right now, but they're allowing their employees in Indiana to move. If they want to move out of state and move to a nearby state, then they're allowing that to happen so that they can exercise their political freedoms as well. So the business community is seriously looking at the plausibility, the ethics, and the discriminatory opportunities of the Religious Tolerance Act in Indiana. There are a couple of governors here in New England who have put a ban, a travel ban, on state employees to go into the state of Indiana to do business there. Our governor, Governor Charlie Baker, who is new on the scene, he replaced Governor Deval Patrick, who successfully completed his 8-year tenure, elected twice, and now he's retired and moved on. And the replacement is a Republican Governor Charlie Baker, who beat Martha Coakley in our November election, but he is now duly our governor. And he has not put a travel ban on state employees going to do business in Indiana, but he definitely does not agree with the Indiana ruling. So you have politicians, you have corporate heads, you have religious figures on both sides who are looking at this issue and saying something needs to change with this. Again, I look at, I'm going back to my breakfast, and you just heard some clips from Reverend Carla Cooper, and I think about the overwhelmingly positive response that she invoked with her message of love, inclusion, and encouragement of all people. She delivered a beautiful message. I'll put clips of it on my website going forward, but it was a message that gave a lot of strength and encouragement to so many. And it also resonated, I think, with some people who were in the audience who wanted to have their voices known, the LGBT community members who came to the breakfast, who went up to her and gave her hugs, and they were so glad to meet her. But for me, the proof was in the pudding. When I read the evaluations that were written by a wide mix of people, we had lots of companies there, lots of corporate people. We had the religious community there in full force because we happily honored three individuals who brought their church members with them, Lauren Green, Dr. Jacoby Cunningham, and Arnold Sappinter. And Arnold Sappinter is in a loving same-sex relationship that he's been in for 30 years. His partner was there with him. And I think about the mix of people who were there, and the evaluations overwhelmingly were positive. Overwhelmingly. Some people said this was the best breakfast I've ever had. And what was the dynamic element? Over and over again, people said, Reverend Carla Cooper, Reverend Carla Cooper. We're talking about a gay preacher who pastors Quinn Chapel AME Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, chaplain and professor at Doan College, openly gay, very dignified, elegant woman, and she stole the show on March 17th, 2015 at my Black History Breakfast with a touch of Irish in there since we had it on St. Patrick's Day. When I think about, had I had her 10 years ago or 12 years ago, 15 years ago when I started the breakfast in 2000, I don't think the response would have been as favorable. But when I think about the response I had at that breakfast, people openly, they could read her biographical profile, they could see the kind of person that she was, and they had a chance to see the dynamic, intellectual, brilliant woman that they were getting ready to hear, and they embraced her. Well, the world is changing, and times are changing. And Indiana ought to wake up and realize you just can't pass laws like that now and think you can get away with it. Not in America. You just can't do that. And every other state that's thinking of passing a ruling like that, not to mirror what the federal government says, but to mirror something, can just focus on a very narrow cast number of people who want to use their own religious practices and beliefs as a bully pulpit. Well, they need to think again. They need to think again. I'm hoping that you'll go to the website, that you'll read up on this, that you will be able to actively participate in this conversation, because it may be coming to your state soon, or it may be coming to your town soon, and you need to fully understand the importance and the particular elements that can, unfortunately, openly discriminate against a group of people who are already vulnerable to being discriminated against. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. We'll be back next week. Nope, we'll be back in 2 weeks. I have other duties with the annual conference next week, so we'll be back in 2 weeks with another exciting show. Thanks so much for listening.